We have no reason to be anxious or to be depressed, and we will not, look what this verse says, if we do what? Rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. What a difference. Just step back for a second and think about that. We go through some pretty severe trials in life, don't we? I mean, some of them are terrible. Terrible. I'm going to share some things with y'all here in a little while regarding some trials. Is anyone here a protector? If you're a parent, you're a protector, aren't you? You protect your children, your grandchildren. I think it's kind of funny on one hand, and I say this in a real funny way, is that you can be, we're in a crowd of people, a baby starts screaming, and you see almost all the mamas like, "What?" It's in their nature to go to help and protect. We'll get there in a second. We are to rejoice in the Lord always, and this is in everything. The word rejoice means particularly to rejoice, to be glad. Now, we may not be rejoicing in our circumstances. Understand what this is saying, okay? But we are rejoicing in the Lord. There are things that happen in our lives that make us happy and that make us sad. This is based off of happenstance. Somebody walks up to you and gives you a new vehicle, what you going to do? First thing that you need to do is make sure it's not stolen. Next thing, you find it's not stolen, then you're happy, right? H-A-P-P-Y, you're happy. Something has happened to make you happy. You walk outside from a grocery store and someone has stole that new vehicle. Now what are you? You're sad. Again, that's based off of happenstance. That's not what this is talking about. We're to rejoice in the Lord. No one in their right mind wants to be sad all the time, right? Not someone in their right mind anyway. On the other hand, no one in their right mind thinks they will never be sad because those days come. But no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what trials or afflictions or prosperities that we are in, we can and we should rejoice in the Lord. If you're writing your Bibles, I encourage you to underline this verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. See, we rejoice in the Lord when we're focused on heavenly things. Why rejoice in the Lord? First, remember what the Lord has done for you. First and foremost, what's He done for you? He has delivered you from the wrath of God. He has saved your soul. He's delivered you from the wrath to come. He's atoned for all of your sins. He's redeemed you. He loved you when you were unlovable. And He'll never let you go. Is that wonderful? Now, you stop, back up, and think about these truths. Does He love you? Has He paid your sin debt? He has. Has He delivered you from the wrath to come? And when you look at it from an eternal perspective, it makes everything else seem to be what? Minute. What did Paul call this? This light affliction. Light. And in a little while, we'll look at some of the afflictions that Paul had. And in our minds, listen, folks, it ain't light being beat like that. It ain't light being stoned to death. Yet that's what Paul said it was. Do you know why Paul said it was a light affliction? Because he's focused on heavenly things. He was rejoicing in the Lord. Even if in the book of Philippians, he says, "Look, I'm in jail. These are running me down. These are building me up. But yet the gospel is being proclaimed. People are saying, oh, I'm in prison. All they have in here is cold pizza to eat. They throw me a biscuit every now and then. You never find Paul complaining. Could he have gotten depressed? Could he have been anxious about the next day? But yet, even in the book of Acts 16, you find him and Silas chained in the inner prison. And this wasn't a politeful chaining, by the way. They'd been beat and chained. What were they doing at midnight? Rejoicing in the Lord. Singing praises to God. Because again, they were focused on heavenly things. This doesn't mean that they were not concerned with earthly things. That's not what that means. You can't go from one extreme to the other, right? We're here, aren't we? We're living here. We are here for such a time as this. Our life should be about Christ and glorifying Him. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I've been in Romans chapter 8 for quite some time studying. Look at verse 31. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? This is good, isn't it? If God be for us, who can be against us? What a great question to ask here. Verse 32, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. All whom the Lord has and will save belong to Him. We should never question whether or not God loves us. And look at the question that he asked in verse 31. It is obvious that the answer is that no one and nothing can successfully be against us. Because God is for us. See, people give the devil way too much credit. He is just a being, a created being is all the devil is. See, what we're doing, according to verse 31, is that we are rejoicing in the Lord no matter what is happening in our lives. No matter what comes against us, or no matter what, in a sense, is for us, we are rejoicing in the Lord. We know we are secure in Christ. We know He loves us. As we mentioned this morning, love is not a feeling. Love is an action. Christ's actions are proof that He loves us. Not just His actions on the cross, but even His actions of today. What's He doing for us today? Look at verse 34. It says, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. To add to all this, there's coming a day, the day that we're looking forward to, when we will be glorified. The day when we lay this whole body down. If you keep reading through the end of Romans 8, you'll see that nothing and no one can separate you and I from the love of God. Now, folks, to put this in perspective, we got to understand what they were going through back then. Christianity was not a popular religion. Christianity was hated by the state, by the government, by the world. And they were highly and extremely persecuted. Yet they kept going for Jesus. they would rejoice in the Lord always. Now, were there people that would not rejoice in the Lord always? Yeah. We'll get there in a little while. Because if they were always rejoicing in the Lord, Paul wouldn't have to write this, would he? Remember, we're flesh. Again, we'll get there in a little while. Nothing, not even hell, not even yourself can separate us from the love of God. God's love for us is from before time as we know it. Look in verse 29 of Romans chapter 8. For whom he did foreknow. Do you see that word foreknow there? I want you to make a mark of that in your Bible. We'll come back here in a second. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The word foreknow. Most people say that means that God, I'm not sure where they get this definition because it's not what it means. But they say God looks ahead and says, oh, okay. They're going to choose me, so I'm going to choose them. Do you know what that does to God? That means that God did not know something. That means that God had to learn something. This just rips away the attributes of God. Says, you're basically a man. Because you didn't know. You had to learn by looking ahead. So obviously that's not what that means, is it? Listen, when someone takes Scripture and takes away from God, they're using that Scripture wrongly. For it does mean in advance. How about the word know? It means to love. I was sharing this with Toya. And to use the word love is really not, it doesn't do it justice either. To know is the most intimate thing that a husband and wife can do. It's to know one another. Amen? To know. Adam, what? Knew Eve, his wife. And what was the fruits of that? She had two kids. Cain and Abel. And then many others after that. Now, what I'm getting at is this word know is a real, it's the deepest meaning of love that I can think of right here. So what did God do before the foundation of the world? He what? He loved us. Beforehand. So look at it again, verse 29. For whom he did love beforehand. Foreknow is a previous choice to love, is what it means. How wonderful is that? These whom he previously chose to love, he also He did what? Predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Notice also in this verse the word whom. For whom he did foreknow. Who are the whom? That's pretty important, isn't it? It's also in verse 30. Look at it. For moreover, whom he what? Did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, who are the whom? God's doing all this for the whom. Who are the whom? Look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. To whom are the called? The called are saints. The called is a class of people who are loved by God from before the foundation of the world. You want to talk about something that's humbling? That's humbling. Before you were even born, before the world was created. Well, that's humbling. Also, I want to say that scripture in context, rightly divided. So no matter what happens to us, since He foreknew us, since He loved us beforehand, He chose to save us, no matter what happens to us, you and I rejoice in the Lord. Because all that He does for us, what's verse 28 say? Works together for what? For good. Now, we don't always look at it that way, do we? We rejoice in the Lord. Verse 4 of Philippians says, always. Always means everywhere, at all times, always, evermore. There's never a time when we are not to be glad in the Lord. I did not say that there aren't times when we are not glad in the Lord. It's not what I said. But that there shouldn't be times when we are not glad in the Lord. See, we're all flesh, aren't we? And there are times that we're not as spiritual as we should be. At times, our circumstances can be more than what we can bear. I know it's popular for someone to say, "He won't put on you more than you can bear." That's a lie to hell. Not scriptural. At times there are things that happen in our lives that overwhelm us. I gave an example last week. And I'll go back to things in my life because I don't know your lives. And I've been having a terrible, terrible week. And I went there to give Toya a break, and I told Toya, I said, what can I do? Because Toya knows. Toya says, I don't know, just go in there and just be with her. I said, all right. So I went there, and there's a bed that my uncle made for Anna, and so we're able to get in and out with her. And I'm laying there, and just talking to her, praying with her. And I'm looking, and she is screaming at the top of her lungs. Screaming. Not because she's spoiled, because she's in pain. She can't tell us where she's hurting at. And she's screaming and she's looking at me with the look, and y'all know what look I'm talking about because your kids have it too, right? And she's saying, help me. With her look, she's saying, I'm hurting. Help. I'm hurting. And as I mentioned earlier about you and I being protectors, you know, the first thing I want to jump up is just, the first thing I want to do is jump up and get somebody. Stop hurting my daughter. Amen? I mean, I want to hurt somebody. Y'all following me? Hurting one of my kids? Except Taylor? That's a joke. That's a joke. She's right there. But back on a serious note, I mean, I find myself getting angry. I'm tensing up. And I just want to hit somebody. And this is while I'm praying. And finally, after just a few seconds, I said, who am I really mad at? Because who's in control? Who do you fight when there's no one there to fight? Lee? I said, Lord, I'm sorry. So please help me. She's still screaming. She's still hurting. But do you know what I should have been doing? Rejoicing in the Lord. Not in my circumstance. Okay? But in the Lord. If I'm rejoicing in the Lord, then my actions and reactions will be correct, will be biblical in the circumstance. That means I'll be responding as I should. Because here's what's happened. If once we get our focus off the Lord, we get out of character, don't we? We get looking at ourselves. It begins to be about me. We start looking at the storm instead of the one who is in control of the storm. We look at that which is temporal instead of that which is eternal. And listen, when we get here, we'll find ourselves angry at God and at others. Listen, is anyone here angry at God? Are you upset with the Lord? If you are, it's because you're thinking too highly of yourself. Your focus is not on Him. You don't understand that He's sovereign, that He's working all these things for our good. I beg you, don't be mad at God. Stop and think about what's He done for you. What's He doing for you? I know what we want to say. I don't want to hurt. I don't want my family to hurt, my loved ones, my friends. God, why don't you fix this? We don't see the end, do we? We don't see what God sees. We don't know what God knows. Some of us just want to throw a fit at times. Some of us are truly just hurting. Hurting. Toya, I asked her, since I don't get to watch the LSU games and things like that, I asked her, I said, look, I said, if you could, when the season's over, I said, whether they win the championship or not, I said, just, if you can, give me the season. I like to look at the games. I mean, I hear the names called out, and I get to watch the highlights, which is the best part, really, after the summer. But she did. And I tell you, that was a good team this year, right? And I was watching the game when they whipped Texas. And there was one fan in the stand. Like he's probably in his teenage years, don't know where. And the camera, now listen, if you go to a football game and you make one of those sad faces, the camera's going to be on you and you're going to become a meme. Or a meme, however you say that, right? And the camera just stayed on him and I'm reading his lips. And he's got his Texas hat on, Texas shirt on, so obviously he's a Texas fan. But the game was coming to an end. It's obvious LSU was going to win, and he's going, he's screaming, why, God, why? Oh, no, why? Oh, my God, that's what he was saying. And I'm thinking, meme, first of all. Next thing is, how sad is that? How sad is that? See, when our world becomes about us, so I want it perfect. How many of y'all want the perfect family? You want all your kids to do right all the time. You want all your kids saved, don't we? You want all your kids serving the Lord. You want them to be successful in life and at whatever they do. Hopefully something that's good. You want them to be safe. You don't want them to be sick. Perfect plan, right? Is that the way life goes? It's not. It isn't. How about a perfect marriage? How about a perfect job? Does anybody in here have a perfect marriage? No. No one. Oh, no one. But we have a perfect God. Lord, I can't live for my kids. I can't make my kids do right, those who've moved out, partially. But you know what I can? I can rejoice in the Lord. I can pray. We learned that this morning in Sunday school, didn't we? We have access to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We go to God in prayer. And prayer doesn't move God our way. Prayer moves us God's way. It is important we take these thoughts captive. When we start thinking about being angry at God and saying, God, why are you allowing this? Why this? Why that? It's important that we take these thoughts captive immediately. View them as sinful. And then rejoice in the Lord. See, when we're rejoicing in the Lord, then our circumstances are not controlling us. Because when your circumstances are controlling you, you'll find yourself being mad at everybody around you because your day is not going as you think it should. In reality, do you know what we're saying? God, I know better than you. And this is how I think it should be. That Texas fan, he's saying, God, why is LSU winning? And I want to scream because they're the better team. No, I can't do that neither, right? But Lord, why are things going this way? We don't know. But we have the promises of the Word of God. He's working all these things for our what? Good. Our good. Amen. It's not good when your circumstances of life are controlling you. It's a great comfort knowing that Jesus Christ is not just our Savior, but He's also our Lord. That means He's in control. No matter what kind of trial or tribulation we go through, we are secure in Christ. Now I understand, back in Philippians, that some may strongly disagree with what Paul's saying here. Not with me, because I'm just simply preaching the Word. But some may strongly, I mean vehemently disagree. Rejoice in the Lord always. And for those who do disagree, we have the rest of the verse. And again I say, what? Rejoice. And again is to the idea of to move repeatedly from one position to another. Repetition. In other words, there are no exceptions. No, and again. No, and again. Rejoice. There are no exceptions. Now, some people may say that I can stand up here and preach this because I haven't been through anything terrible in my life. And I promise you, that's a lie. That's a lie. I mentioned Anna a while ago. I can't tell you, I cannot explain to you how burdensome that is. To look at your own child and not be able. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And ministering to others, being there when others are dying. Trying to pray and encourage the family. Yet there's nothing that you can do. Nothing. Because if you could, you would. There are no exceptions. Again, we're not rejoicing in our circumstances. We're not saying, per se, look at me. My child is dying, or my loved one is dying. Woo-hoo! That person needs to be evaluated. Amen. But yet you rejoice in the Lord. See, when you rejoice in the Lord, in a sense, we'll get there in a second, you glory in your tribulations. The apostles were thankful to be accounted worthy to be what? Persecuted for the name of Christ. Things that were happening to themselves. Again, I think about the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I know I mentioned it a few times in the past few months. I encourage y'all to read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's a thick book, but it's really a bunch of little short stories all through the book. So it's like you're accomplishing things as you go through the book. It's tremendous to see these people. There are those who want to be persecuted so they can say, I'm being persecuted. Oh, it's me. That's not our attitude. We want to live in such a way that our God, our Lord and Savior, is glorified. No matter what we're going through, rejoice in the Lord. Who are those that can do this? Who can do this? Here's the answer. How about Scripture? Amen? Write this down if you take notes. Isaiah 26, 3. The Bible says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. When your mind is stayed on God, you are looking where? Heavenward. You're not looking at yourself. And the result of that is that God will keep you in perfect peace. And when I read that verse, I think about Fox's Book of Martyrs. You see these people going to the stake to be burned to the stake. They're going to get their heads chopped off. They're going to be drowned, whatever it may be. And yet they're in perfect peace. They willfully go. They willfully walk. Who is our best example? He says, I what? Lay my life, no man takes it from me. I lay it down, that I may take it up again. Christ's goal on earth was to glorify His Heavenly Father in everything that He did. He came to seek and save that which was lost. That did what glorified His Heavenly Father. He went to the cross. He went to the grave. He came out the grave. He ascended to glory. All this was to glorify His Heavenly Father. Christ's mind was stayed. It was fixed upon the Father. Perfect peace. See, Christ never acted out of character. Never. He never revolted. He didn't start a rebellion when His rights was infringed upon. In John 14, 27, this is what Christ says. He says, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, which is a false peace, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is faith in the Lord, not positive thinking. The positive thinking theology is out of hell, by the way. It's something that people like Oprah promotes. Faith is trust in the Lord no matter the outcome. Faith is trust in the Lord in and through the circumstances in life. Hey, have y'all ever noticed that life just doesn't go the way you want it to go? It's really a trial, really a tribulation. Which makes us say, come on, Jesus! I'm ready to go. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes, Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And someone can say, well, that's easy for Paul to write. He's not going through what I'm going through. He hasn't had to deal with what I've dealt with. Do you know where Paul was at when he wrote this? Let's remember. Where was he at? He was in prison. Why was he in prison? He jacked a car? No. A chariot? No. Because he's a Christian. That's it. That's why he's in prison. But there's more than that. And y'all know these things. I just want to encourage y'all this morning to rejoice always in the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths all. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Aside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You think Paul's life was a bed of roses? Yet he's saying, rejoice in the Lord. Often. Always. He says, who is weak and I am not weak, who is offended and I burn not. He says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Paul can rejoice in all things because his life was not about himself. It was about the Lord. This is a good place for you now to examine ourselves, isn't it? How much of our lives revolve around pleasing self? I'm not going to get up and go and do this, do that, because I deserve this or that. See, when we think too highly of ourselves, we get mad at God. See, that young kid in the stands, he thought too highly of Texas, didn't he? And he didn't get what he thought they deserved. So therefore, he was mad at God. What do you really think you deserve this morning? What do we think we deserve? Lord, help us. When something or anything doesn't go our way, how do we respond? Oh, I can get angry, I promise you. I can get mad. Anybody else? Something doesn't go my way. Often I'll stop on the phone if somebody calls me and I'll just be quiet. And they'll say, are you still there? I say, yeah, I'm praying. Leave me alone. I don't say it like that. I'll say, yeah. I said, just give me a second. Because I am praying. So, Lord, help me. Because this has made me very angry. But in a sense, is it that big of a deal? Whatever it may be. Had a guy on the job this past week. I'm not trying to drag this out, but our song service was short, so that gives me another 15, 20 minutes to preach, right? I was on the dozer pushing. I looked in the tracker, wasn't moving. And I looked and I saw him sweeping out the cab. I said, well, I know what that means. That means he busted a window. Well, not a big deal. I mean, those windows only $100. We're going to find out he was doing something he knew better than to do. That machine has what's called a hydraulic thumb on it. It means with a button in the cab, the thumb goes up or down, which means you can pick up logs with the bucket and the thumb and move them. I said, were you using the thumb? I knew he wasn't, but I was just asking him. He said, no, sir. He said, I didn't trust it. I said, how about now? I had to be careful because I was angry. This machine is a year and a half old, and it looks like it's 20. It's a $170,000 machine. I said, use your thumb. It's for leverage and for your protection and the machine's protection. I was stern, but I wasn't rude. Amen. We have a rule at work. You break it, you buy it. You bust a window, you buy the window. Why? Because that makes them better operators. Makes them stop and say, okay, if I pull this tree down, it's going to hit that, that's going to pop up, hit. Then I got to buy that. Instead of saying, I don't care, right? He told me, he said, well, just let me know what it is, and I write you a check. I said, you don't understand. You got $25,000? Because that's what this is going to cost. So we had to file an insurance claim on the cab because the log rolled back on it. Now, I could have got upset. I could have thrown a fit. I could have said it's my right to throw this fit. He knew better than not to use his thumb. He knows he's supposed to use it. He's been operating for a very long time. He's been with us for a year and a half. I could have jumped up and down. I could have run him off the job. Let him go home. I could have cut his pay. But I'm thankful that I've been studying these scriptures. Amen. And that I should put these things that I'm learning into action. See, when I get up here and preach, it's not me saying you. I've already been beat up. In a good way. I've already been encouraged. I've already been corrected with instruction. That's admonition. And that's what this is. Listen, we have no reason not to rejoice in the Lord always. We're not necessarily rejoicing in our circumstance, right? Because that hurts. But the Lord never changes. We rejoice in Him. Who gets to rejoice in Him? Those of us who are saved. If you're not saved, you will respond to the flesh continually. You can't help it. You'll throw a cussing fit. It's amazing how when the Lord saves your soul and you really begin to grow, that He cleanses some stuff, huh? In your personal life, your tongue. From the abundance of the heart, what's the mouth do? Speaks. You realize that your life is not about you, but it's about the Lord. May the Lord help us to live for Him, to rejoice in Him. And we do this, listen, by His grace. And when we do this, we're not to toot our own horn. Just keep going. Live for Jesus. Because as soon as you toot your own horn, you'll be like Peter. And Christ's going to have to rebuke you with His word. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, same thing. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord willing, tonight we'll be back here, 6 o'clock. Back at it again. Brother Jeremy, would you close us in prayer?